part, I want to talk about what I call entering into your landmark. Entering into your landmark. Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 24. Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 24. This is a charge to somebody. It may not be for everybody. But God gave me this word this morning, very early this morning. And I know it's definitely for one person. In verse 24 of Deuteronomy chapter 2, this is a command from God. He says, rise ye up, take your journey, and pass over the river Arnon. Behold, I have given into thine hand Sihon and the Amorites, king of Heshbon and his land. Begin to possess it and contend with him in battle. This statement here is the language of God. This is how God gets people into their landmark. In this story, or in this statement here, God was saying, there is a land that I've given to you. There is a land that has your name on it. There is a portion that is yours, but portions are not delivered the way people think portions are delivered. People think that when portions have been apportioned, definitely it will be delivered. No. When portions have been apportioned, what you will do is rise ye up. When portions have been delivered, what you will do is take your journey. Most people don't know that it is when portions have been delivered, when there have been announcements, when there have been prophecy, that the work begins. People think that the work ends when prophecy comes. No, sir. The work begins with prophecy. It is what God says. It is when God says it that there is a warfare. It is when God says it that you need to rise up and now begin to contend. Because sometimes it can be said, and if you don't rise up, if you don't take your journey, it will remain on the shelf. I know that when we get to heaven, we are going to see many thoughts, saith the Lord. They will be there. They will be there as thoughts, saith the Lord. You will not see the fulfillment. Why? Because nobody did verse 24 of Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 24. The Bible says, rise ye up. If you are hearing me this morning, I'm saying to you, this is the end of September, and you are looking at October. You are looking at November. You are looking at December. Rise up. Enough of all this complaint. Enough of, it didn't happen this way. It didn't happen that way. It is not going to happen any way you had thought it would happen. You have to rise up. You have to take your journey. You have to make the journey personal. You have to understand that there are many things that God has promised you, and you are not going to let no one devil steal any of those things from you. So when it comes to entering your promised land, entering your landmark, and by landmark I mean your monumental, your sizable, your major, your undeniable realm of reality. Let me say it again. By landmark, I mean your monumental, your sizable, your major, your undeniable realm of reality. I know there are people listening to me this morning. I don't know about any other day, but this morning, because this message God asked me to give it to somebody, that person is listening to me. You are coming into your monumental. You are coming into your sizable. You are coming into your major and undeniable realm of reality and manifestation. If you are that person, say, believe it, amen. Entering into your landmark. Thank God for Pastor Yossi when he was praying. The beginning of entering into your landmark, he called it light. I wrote here, revelation. How do I enter into my landmark? I contend for revelation. I contend for light. Revelation. Light precedes sight. Light precedes sight. You want light to shine. You contend for revelation. You contend for light. You are asking that light should shine. Every now and then, when you sense there is a landmark, there is something big that needs to happen, it is not the time to just calculate from the brain. It's not the time to just do mini, 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 moon. You need light. You need revelation. You need something that is outside of you. You need something from him that should come. You need revelation to come. Because the Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 29, Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 29. It says, the secret thing belongs unto God. There are many things that are secret. It is not because it has to be secret. As long as it is remaining secret, it is because somebody has not taken the bull by the horn to contend for revelation. Because the secret thing, though they belong to God, but the things which are revealed. That means there are many secret things that needs to be revealed. But somebody needs to come and ask and say, can this be revealed? Let me tell you the truth. There are many secret things that God will not just reveal casually. You know, I talked about the triangles of flourishing. There are some things that when you get to level 2, you need to press in so that what is available will be unleashed. You would have thought that because Jacob had threefold anointing, his father, his grandfather, his father, and then the one he collected one way or the other, you would have thought that he would just have it simple. You would just have thought that he would just walk into everything. But you see, there are dimensions in God. Those dimensions in God, they don't just give it on a platter of nothing. No. You contend for it. You rise up to it. You take up your journey. And the journey you first take up is the journey of revelation. You want to know. You want your eyes to be flooded with light. You want God to open your eyes. You want God to do something to your sight. You don't want to see by just your natural eyes. You want the eyes of your spirit to be open. That's why Paul was praying for the Ephesians church in Ephesians chapter 1 from verse 17. Ephesians chapter 1, 17 downwards. It says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you, of him. Verse 18. It says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. What am I saying? If you want to enter into your landmark, the eyes of your understanding has to be enlightened. Let me tell you, where you are going is not far. It's because you are not seeing far. You can't see. There are many things you cannot see. I mean, how many of us have seen some things later on and you're like, did this thing just come here? No, it has always been there. Every now and then when I'm driving, I sometimes take it, when I'm coming from home, I sometimes take one or two different routes so that I'm not used to a particular route. So that one day when I take my familiar route again or route again, I'll find something new. And some of those things that I find new, they are not new. They are just that I have seen it afresh. I'm saying God can give you eyes that see afresh. Eyes that see the opportunity. Eyes that see what is hidden in plain sight. Eyes that see what God has kept. You are like Abraham, that you are going to sacrifice Isaac. But you will commit murder if the eyes of your understanding are not enlightened. God was not asking Abraham to really commit murder. God wanted to get Abraham to Ephesians chapter 1 verse 18, where his eyes of understanding will be enlightened. Because eventually, Abraham did not kill Isaac. What happened was that the Bible said there was a ram that was caught in the thicket. Suddenly, somewhere along the journey, his eyes were open. Can I pray for your eyes, the eyes of your understanding, that they will be enlightened, they will be full of light, you will see afresh in the name of Jesus. New eyes. New eyes. God enlightening you. God opening your eyes. You don't know the miracle that it can bring into your heart. Because you see, we move in this kingdom. Our flight is dependent on our sight. There are many people that are not flying high. Not because there is no potential to fly high. But they can't see far. They cannot see. Their eyes are blinded. But when your eyes are open, it does something to you. It begins to do something from within you because you are seeing differently when your eyes are open. In fact, it is when you can see that you can endure some things. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him. The people that put him on the cross only saw the cross. He saw past the cross. He saw the throne. He saw the right hand of the Father. He saw a name that is highly above every other name. So when there was pain, he could endure the pain. I'm telling you, if you want to enter your landmark, because the landmark land, the place you are going to, is a big place. It's a land that you need to be thick-skinned. unseen. You need to see something that others are not seeing. You need to see the invisible so that you can do the impossible. I'm praying for you again that God will open your eyes. You will see what God wants you to see in the name of Jesus. In 1 Samuel chapter 3 verse 7, when I read this scripture, it amazed me. This is the story of Samuel. Samuel was this boy that his mother prayed for and did a deal with God and told God, I'm going to give this boy to you. So Samuel was born, a few days after he was born, or maybe not a few days, maybe a few years, when he was weaned off breast milk or something, they took Samuel to the temple. Now, this guy was learning God. This guy was doing theology. But the Bible says in verse 7 of 1 Samuel 3, it says, now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. Samuel came to know the Lord. This is what Samuel came for. Samuel comes to church. Samuel is a member of Victory House. He has heard about that three triangle of flourishing and he's plugging into it. He said, but there is a dimension of knowing God that is not information, it's revelation. This Samuel did not know the Lord. Does not mean he doesn't know the rudiments. He probably knows all the sacramental things. He knows how the priest will come. He knows how they will be doing the censer. He knows how they will mix the flavors for the anointing oil. He knows how to do that. He knows how they collect the, you know, bullocks and people that come to do sacrifice in the temple in those days. He knows all of that, but it's not enough. There are many of us, we are at this level of, we know about, we know a lot. Head knowledge, plenty head knowledge, but no revelation. I'm asking and I'm praying that God will move you beyond head knowledge into experiential knowledge in the name of Jesus. So when it comes to entering into your landmark, you need to move past this. Now Samuel did not know the Lord. He said, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him. You know the Lord the way he wants you to know him, when this word is revealed to you. Not when you read the word, when the word is revealed to you. It's like the word becoming flesh. When the word is revealed to you, because there are dimensions, there are depths into the word of God. Sometimes you will open it, and until the book is open for you, the book is, you are reading it, but you don't really understand. But it can be open. When I heard the story of our father in the Lord many years ago, when he was trying to get a PhD, and things were really looking tough for him, and he said one day he was just praying, and the Holy Spirit told him to go and read Exodus, the crossing of the Red Sea. And that he went to read it. And from the crossing of the Red Sea, and that's why sometimes I've heard people say something like this, is the only Bible we are going to eat? It's because you don't know that this book is a mystic, is a closed book. If it is open to you, one word, you will hear one word, it will do something else for you. Because this book is a prophetic book. He said he went to read the book of Exodus. And it was from the book of the crossing of the Red Sea that God ministered to him. He said because he saw that in the crossing of the Red Sea, the water went to one side, another water went to one side. He said, and he heard God. God told him, pack some equation to one side. Pack another equation to one side. And then solve them on one side. Solve this one on one side. And just like the water came back together, bring the one you have solved there, bring it back to the one you have solved there. And when you bring it back together, it's as if you are walking outside of the Red Sea. He said, from that revelation, he was able to go and defend his thesis. Who would have thought that from the story of Exodus, somebody will be getting a PhD? Because the word was revealed. There are too many times you open your Bible, you are just going to read it, so that if pastor asks, how many people have read, finished reading their Bible, you raise up your hand. We thank God for that word that we have given you, but now let the word be revealed to you. Let God open the word to you. Because when the word opens up to you, many things will open to you. There are many of you, you are standing before closed door. The reason you are standing before that closed door, and the door is looking at you, and the more you shout, The door is just doing like it's a very deaf door. And the Bible said in Psalm 24 that there was a man that was speaking to doors and said, lift up your head, O ye gates, and be ye lifted everlasting door. And doors were conversing with this guy. And the door said, ah, who is this King of Glory? And before you knew it, these doors, the Bible called them everlasting door. Old door, long time door. Maybe they had never opened to anybody, but they opened. Why? Because the word. When the word is revealed, things open up. I'm praying for somebody listening to me. The word of the Lord will be revealed to you. Things will open up for you in the name of Jesus. Now when things open up for you, the word of God is revealed to you, it should push you into a season of what I call dissatisfaction. Dissatisfaction. If you have known, if one word of God has been revealed to you and you are normal, I have a question with that. It should push you into dissatisfaction. Some of you want to pray away dissatisfaction, but dissatisfaction can be a gift. You know, there's a poem I normally read. I won't read it today because I'm really out of time now. You know, I normally read it, but it's a poem asking for dissatisfaction. That God should disturb us. He should disturb our equilibrium. I don't want to be satisfied. Lord, mess up with my satisfaction. That's kind of, I want that. I want that. I'm not easily satisfied. Because when the word of God is revealed to you, it should push you into a dissatisfaction. Because dissatisfaction is a gift. It's a good thing. Many people will remain in status quo, except they are dissatisfied. There are many things that God can do. It's until the day you decide and say, today, I want this done. Today, I'm tired of this. Look at the woman with the issue of blood. She said to herself, I'm not even going to go and consult Jesus. This one, I will get this miracle without Jesus. I won't talk to him. Once I see him, once I touch his hem, I will be made whole. That's how dissatisfaction talks. When you are looking at 3 months to the end of the year, when you have spent more time behind in 2025 than more times ahead, then you don't have time to begin to play, well, we got catch up. No, you don't have any time to catch up. This is it. So there is a dissatisfaction. And you see, when we find ourselves in systems like this, like the United States, there are many things that make for convenience, that make many people to seemingly feel like, wow, it's not that deep, it's not that serious. Why should I push myself this way? But if you see the picture of what God has for you, you won't sit down. Many of us are comfortable because you don't know that God has an agenda. Many of you are comfortable because sometimes you even look at the other person and say, compared to this guy, I'm not doing badly. But what God has is bigger than this. What God has is a lot. And if you are going to enter into that, your landmark, when you receive revelation, let it bat dissatisfaction in you. And that dissatisfaction should push you. You should be dissatisfied every now and then. It's not that you are ungrateful. It's not that you are worried. But you just know that there is a more to come. There's more to come. In the book of Hebrews, scriptures told us about the fact that all the guys you saw in Hebrews chapter 11, the reason that they made it was that they were seeking for more. They wanted more. They became people that made it to the hall of fame or hall of faith because they wanted more. They were pushing for more. They were desirous of more. They made the decision and they made a choice to have all that God wanted. This dissatisfaction is a decision to have all that God wanted. I'm not trying to have a trophy to show people on social media, but there is what God wants. If God wants more than this, then I want it. If God wants more than what I have now, then I want it. If God says where I am is 10 and he wants to take me to 1,000, I want to get there. I want all that God wants because I don't want to finish and get there. And he will say, well, I ask you to be Lord over this many city, but you were not Lord over this many city. I made you to be this, but you didn't trade well with it. Why? Because you were just satisfied because you traded with one. There are many people, you know, in the category of the talent, they gave one 5, they gave one 2, they gave one. There are some people in our own lifetime category that they gave 5. They are not going to give God 10 and they are not going to give God 5. They will give God 6.5. They have still failed. He was expecting you to double it. was expected to do more with it. And God is saying to you this morning, will you receive the gift of dissatisfaction? Will you be satisfied? Will you be pushed off this comfort zone where you are sitting down? Will you embrace this challenge that I'm giving to you, that there can be more? So when you are trying to go into your promised land, you are trying to enter into your landmark, you receive revelation. And all this, they are going to be received on the altar of prayer in different dimensions. When you want revelation, it's still prayer, but prayer with the word of God. Prayer in a meditative state. That's what births revelation. Prayer in a meditative state. What is prayer in a meditative state? You are praying the word, or you are speaking the word. You just don't read it. You mutter it, you chew it, you meditate, you think about it and speak what you are thinking about. Okay? Then it becomes a body of revelation, like an injection that will come into you. And then it begins to sponsor dissatisfaction. Now that dissatisfaction to you, propel it by prayer. You propel it by prayer. Lord, keep me hungry. Lord, keep me thirsty. And then he's keeping you thirsty. He will fill you up to a level. And then you move again. You come back. You say, God, keep me thirsty. Keep me hungry. As he keeps pushing you. And then he pushes you into a place where I call perspiration. It's a place of labor in the spirit. A place of labor in the spirit. Nehemiah chapter 4 verse 10. Let's read this scripture. Maybe I'll end with that. Nehemiah chapter 4 verse 10. You move from revelation, you get to dissatisfaction or desperation, and then it pushes you into perspiration. It is this place where you have what you call push. Push is pray until something happens. I believe this was the posture that Jabez had. Nehemiah chapter 4 verse 10. He says, and Judah said, the strength of the bearers of burden is decayed, and there is much rubbish. When we do not push, when we do not get into this perspirative place, when we do not get into persevering prayers, there will be much rubbish. There will be no strength. Because we renew our strength as we wait upon the Lord in the place of prayer. So when we do not do what we should do, we have what the Bible says, there will be decay and there will be much rubbish. Excuse me, I'm saying that why many people have rubbish as opposed to landmark is not because landmark was not promised. Is because people have not pushed for strength. People have not held on to the hand of the altar and push and perspire and understand that there is a place in God. There is a place in God. God can get you to a place where some of the things he told you, you can begin to walk into the fullness of it. He told them, rise up, take your journey. I want you to commit. I don't know how you are going to walk it, but the next few days, if it is one day, some people will be one day. Some people it will be 2 days. Some people, is it 3 days we have remaining? Actually, it's 2 days, right? Monday and Tuesday. Yeah, okay? So it's 2 days. Some people want to fast all of those 2 days and even add 3 days in October to it. And what you are doing is that you are asking God to walk you through this. You want revelation. You want him to create dissatisfaction. And then you want to now perspire. You can give yourself times of the day. Maybe at every 12 noon, I'll pray 10 minutes. At every 3 p.m., I'll pray 10 minutes. At every 6 p.m., I'll pray 10 minutes. That's how you push. Oh? Because when it comes to push, you are putting pressure. You are not just dealing at the same level that you used to normally deal. Maybe the level you normally deal with is you pray once in the morning. But when it comes to pressure and push, you add more than that, your regular. You add some extra into it. And that's how you begin to push. You begin to push, and before you know it, you are walking in the fullness of the landmark that God has for you, because this is your season, this is your time. I want you to rise up to your feet this morning. I want you to rise up to your feet this morning. Landmark that God has promised in 2025 is not just a promise that is left hanging. It's a promise that God wants to bring to pass. And he wants to walk you through a revelation. He wants to walk you through some level of dissatisfaction. He wants to get you to the place of perspiration, so that eventually, the last part, you will get into the place of celebration. And even that place of celebration, you don't have to be in that landmark before you start to celebrate. You can start doing it from now. You will do it next week, but you can get to that place. I want somebody to express themselves in God. Just let God deal with you. Maybe it is the first part of what I discussed this morning that was for you. Go ahead, let him work on you on that. Maybe it's the second part of what I spoke about this afternoon. Go ahead, let him work on you on that. Somebody may be telling God, I need grace. I want revelation. I want fresh revelation. I want fresh revelation. I want to see anew. Let my eyes be flooded with light. And another person may be in this room is saying, Lord, this morning I'm too comfortable. I want some level of dissatisfaction. I want you to shake me a little bit. I want to be dissatisfied. Create a new hunger. Create a new thirst in me. In the name of Jesus. And there is somebody you want to receive the grace of supplication. There is a grace. There is a grace. It can come upon you. Oh, it is that grace that will make Zion to travail. Because as Zion travails, as Zion will prevail, Zion will bring forth. Yes, Lord, let there be a baptism in this room this morning. In the name of Jesus, that there is a grace coming upon us so that we can push, so that we can push, so that we can push, so that we can push. Oh, so that we can push, so that we can push. Oh, yes, oh God, we want to push, we want to go deeper, we want to enter into our landmark in the name of Jesus. The things you have promised, the things you have for us, we want to enter it. Oh yes. Oh yes. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. I want you to touch your tummy as a sign of connecting to your spirit man. Because there is a spirited man. There is a spirited man. The inspiration of God, give it understanding. Understanding is coming. You will know by God. You will know by revelation. You have only known by information. Now you will know by revelation. There will be a dissatisfaction. God will cause an eruption from within you. Out of your belly shall flow. Let there be that flow. Let it flow now. Let it flow, let it flow, let it flow, let it flow. And out of my belly shall flow rivers, rivers of living waters. E-I-E-I-A. Out of